I am now recording, so everything you say can be used you in a court of law.
I've been recording for 10 minutes.
Can be used me in a court of law? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I've been recording for 10 minutes, so I have everything.
Don't worry, we got B-roll of Mitch just saying banana hammock.
That's right. We do. That was only A-roll.
That's just going to be the intro to the episode. Just banana hammock. And then music.
Dun, dun, dun. We have Ralph Macchio as a guest star. As the
Ralph
Todd.
Macchio.
You know? Yeah. Cobra Kai.
Oh, man.
All right. You boys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
As ready as we'll ever be.
For sure.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to season 2 of Casual Commander.
Oh,
I'm Chris.
We made it.
Oh, my God. And we're already breaking up.
I'm going to say something stupid.
Let's at least get the intro.
Well, I want to show how happy I am.
Oh, goodness. And be like, I'm Tim.
Hey, I'm Tim.
It's Tim.
A lot's changed.
My second season, I hit puberty.
I hit negative puberty. Yeah. Doctors say I got what's called reverse puberty.
I'm the Benjamin Button of Magic the Gathering.
Okay, let's try again.
Sorry.
Take two. We'll get it back. We'll get it.
All right, pause.
Yep.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to season 2 of Casual Commander. I'm Chris.
And I'm Tim.
And today, we are bringing another filthy casual in.
We sure are. It's my good friend, Mitch. Him and I have been friends for a very, very long time. He knows nothing of magic.
Yeah, no, nothing. I was just thinking about how long we've known each other. I mean, I don't know.
Since 8th grade, I want to say.
It's been like...
Oh, no, so like 2-3 years, maybe?
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, you know.
It feels like that, yeah.
We met in algebra 2 weeks ago.
By the way, did you tank that final like I did?
I sure did. Are you kidding? Mr. Roth was so disappointed in me, dude.
Anyway, so today we're going to start the season with a little bit of an introduction to Commander. We figured that bringing in someone like Mitch, who knows nothing about the game, you know, and trying to convince him to play, talk about the game, talk about Commander itself, talk about, you know, magic turn structure, building decks, getting a general understanding of the game is really a good thing to help more people come into this really, really fun hobby. And Mitch, on a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. what's your magic knowledge?
Maybe, like, honestly, 2.
Okay, you know it exists.
You know, no, yeah, my knowledge experience really only spans a couple of games with another mutual friend of mine and Tim, Adam, who also goes way back. And I mean, this was years ago, you know, quite a number of years ago, in fact. Couple of games over, some beers and catching up. So not really a lot maintained. I do remember we were playing tabletop, obviously, because, you know, you could be in the same room as another person back then. And I do remember lands. I remember lands, and I remember them being important and something that you wanted. I also remember having cards on the table, and for some reason, I turned the card. Okay. Did something.
That's an advanced strategy. We'll get to that.
That is we'll the most advanced. I don't really remember what that did or what it signified. And then the only other thing I remember is that, like, I was being attacked. Like, it's not like Pokemon where you, like, attack the Pokemon, right? Like, it's like Yu-Gi-Oh! Where there's, like, or like Hearthstone. I actually did play a decent amount of Hearthstone. So if there's any... Okay.
You should get most of the concepts, right?
Yeah. Cool. Let's let it rip.
I can guarantee by the end of this episode, your knowledge will go from a 2 to maybe a 3.
3.5, I'm thinking. This guy's a
3.5? Okay.
Can we do half percentages here? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to ask.
3.5.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay. Anyway, before we start, this episode was suggested to us by one of our listeners, Sean Lara, who won the giveaway. So thank you, Sean, for this idea.
Woo!
Thanks, Sean. Hopefully we do your idea justice.
Congrats.
Congrats on winning the Christmas giveaway almost a month ago.
I got to say, seeing as I, like, at the time of recording, just drew the picture for the other giveaway. Sean really lucked out on getting this instead of the picture.
Oh my God. Congratulations. I have it. It's amazing.
Can you show it to me?
The other room. I'll go get it.
Wait, is it a picture of you guys?
No. It's better.
One of our giveaways was
just like, thanks.
Just a signed picture of us on our bearskin rug.
Yeah.
No shirt.
Yeah, no shirt.
No
Why
shirt.
Why do we have a shirt?
Yeah, no.
One of the giveaways, we were supposed to hand draw one of our listeners' the winner's favorite commander.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
Yep, the gentleman who won, James, I believe, asked for us to draw a commander. His name is Nekusar, as Darth Maul.
And boy, did he get Darth
and
Maul.
And boy, did Tim draw Darth Maul.
I gotta see this then.
Tim basically just drew Darth Maul.
Okay, said from the get-go to Chris, I was like, I am okay with having this as an award. I think it'll be funny. But the person who gets it must know up front that I am a crap drawer. Yeah, I have no artistic bones in my body.
Not a single time have I ever seen you I'm just drawing today. Yeah. You don't do this.
I don't draw. I barely can write. I am my handwriting's barely legible. It's just
Actually under the picture of his drawing, he wrote instead of a note thanks for listening or you're a great, listener, he writes, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I got to see this.
I'll show it to you after.
Awesome.
Man. If you showed that to someone.
And that's a gas. That's so funny, dude.
And they're like, oh, who drew this? your 3-year-old? That's so advanced for his age.
Honestly, it's a picture that I would expect.
Thanks for this picture of Darth Maul, Happy Magic playing.
It's a picture I would expect my son to bring home from the third grade with a gold star on it.
Yeah, you did a really good job. He really understood
this
coloring.
This is going on the fridge.
This one's going up. Yeah, we're going to laminate this piece even. Put that joint right on the fridge,
But I'm a grown adult man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, okay. Congratulations on winning the contest.
Yeah, congrats to all our winners.
Please, if you frame that picture, let me know.
Oh, my God. Oh, I mean, it's forever immortalized. It's in... I sent it via Gmail, so Google has that forever.
It does.
And it'll just be a short time until it's in the Smithsonian.
I'm probably
going
to start personalizing my ads to being crayons.
Paint by number.
Right?
Yeah,
Crayola erasable markers.
Okay.
Well, let's just say, Tim, the world is a better place for it.
Thanks.
All right. Last big announcement before we get into the episode. We figured that the start of a new season, we are going to actually release a Patreon account.
Woo! Come support us, please.
Let's do it.
Yes. Obviously, it costs money to keep this podcast going. Mm-hmm. The downside of running a podcast. So any help that you guys could give us would be really, really appreciated. We're doing discounts on merch for different tiers. We're doing Discord server higher rankings and Q&As with Tim and I, one-on-ones, discussions. If you back us, one of the tiers is actually a shout out on an episode. So thank you, obviously, for listening. If there's, whatever you can do to help support just by listening to us is obviously more than enough for us. But if you wanted to help give back a little bit to the podcast, that's a way you can do it.
We figured it's probably about time. We've been holding off on it because we weren't sure if it would even really be if people would be interested. And we've had a couple people reach out and say that they were in fact interested, without even prompting. So we're all right, I think it's probably a good point, we're at that level. It'll help us do more giveaways and stuff in the future as well. Any little bit helps. Don't feel obligated, but if you want to, we'd be more than happy to have you guys come be Patreons for us.
Absolutely. Yep. And the more support we get, the more content we can put out, the more episodes, the more, like Tim said, the more giveaways. Mm-hmm. Heck, we're even thinking about maybe starting to record games and maybe do some live streams of us talking. Mm-hmm. We want to keep putting out great content for you guys, and the more gambit support you can give, the better.
Yeah.
The whole gambit. It was the highest tier actually gets to move into my house.
Oh.
No way. Yeah. Sign me up.
Hold on. Can I do a Patreon?
Hold on. I'm ready to donate right now. I'm moving in with Ben.
Oh, the tier is $1,500 a month, though.
I can do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's actually, with the way Reddit's going, yeah, can we, like, lock in a two-year contract or something?
Lock in a two-year contract on Patreon.
Can I just get a cut of that mortgage, dog?
You signed the rental agreement, so
it's the rental.
That's our Patreon. It'll be live at the release of this episode. You can find it on our Facebook page. You'll be able to find it on the Twitter. You can find it. You can find the Patreon link on Facebook. You can find it on Twitter. You can also just go straight to Patreon. Patreon.com/casualcommander. No spaces, just casual commander. All right. What do you say we describe the game of Magic the Gathering?
All right. Mitch.
Teach me, boys.
Mitch, let me paint you a picture with words, all right?
Do that. Give me the straight poop, Timmy.
The what?
You never heard that expression?
The straight poop?
No. Has anyone? Is that a expression?
It's from something, and I know it is. Give me Jim's biscuits. I don't know.
I kind of like that one.
Jim's Biscuits?
Jim's Biscuits. I think that's a good one. I think we got something there.
The Jim's Biscuits. It's kind of like the Bee's Knees.
All right, Mitch, I'm going to give you...
I've never said straight poop to you.
We've known each other a long time, and I can 100% guarantee you've never said that.
That's crazy. I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
I know it's from something.
Anyway. All right. Magic is a trading card game in which you build a deck with, and you fill it with specific cards that have specific functions, and they can be broken down into, I think, four main types. There's permanence, spell. I guess it's permanence and spells, right? Or not, sorry, not permanence.
There's more than that.
Okay. You got lands, which are basically your mana.
I remember that.
Yeah. So lands are your mana. You've got creatures.
Okay.
Which are what they sound like. They're just creatures that come in. They can attack. They can block. They are your, for the most part, your main damage dealing. There are other ways, but they're like a hefty majority of the way that damage
is that like equivalent off to like monsters in Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah, it's like a Blue Eyes White Dragon is a creature.
Sure. Okay, right. Sure.
You've got enchantments, which are usually like stat cards that get put onto the battlefield or onto a creature. That kind of give you a permanent benefit, usually, of, like, if this happens, this enchantment says, like, if this thing happens, then you can do this, or at any point, you can pay 2 mana and then do this other thing. So they're another type of permanent card that just stays on the battlefield unless something gets rid of it.
Do you have to play an enchantment on something, or is it, like, is it just kind of a status that can affect the battlefield, or can that vary?
It depends on the enchantment.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some that do what you're saying, where you can play it on a creature. There are some
like a buff or a debuff.
Yeah, like a buff or a debuff. There are some that just come into the battlefield and just sit there, like kind of doing their whole spiel, like while the game is going on.
Like, but incremental
that's
benefits
from a land. Yeah, incremental. Right. That's not a land. Right?
It's not a land. Yeah.
Okay. And
almost all creatures and enchantments, basically all cards, need lands to be cast. So when you put down a land of a specific color, most other cards are going to have a certain color cost with them. So you could have a card, like say an enchantment costs just 2 mana, just 2 generic mana, and then 1 blue mana and 1 green mana. You have to make sure that you have all those lands on the battlefield and they're not tapped to be able to play that card.
Is tapped the turn thing?
That is, yeah. So when you tap it, you're kind of triggering its ability. For lands, that ability is giving you a mana of a specific color. Or no color. Some of them give you no color mana. Colorless mana, some would say.
Is mana something that sort of comes back every turn, like in Slay? No?
Well,
or is it like...
Before we get too deep into it, let's talk about the actual game itself.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You're right.
Okay. The game of Magic is played over a course of turns.
Okay. Right?
You versus your opponent. The format that we mostly discuss on this podcast is Commander. Which is typically a multiplayer format, usually 3 to 4 players.
Oh.
Magic originally was 1v1.
Yeah, that's the only way I've ever seen it played. Yep. I wasn't even aware that you could do like free-for-alls and things. Yep. So that's really dope.
We play a multiplayer format.
That sounds super fun.
Yep. at its core, magic is just you are a wizard, you are a strong magic casting entity that is fighting against your opponent, and you guys right. are the first one to basically go to zero life loses.
Yeah.
All right, pretty straightforward. On your turn, you're going to do a number of things, and it's basically just you go, your opponent goes, you go, your opponent goes. It's very straightforward. When you're multiplayer, right. you go clockwise. On your turn, you have a number of phases that you're going to go through. And you basically, magic itself is extremely structured. It's probably one of the games that has the most best-defined rules of any game, I think, that's out there. If there is a fringe case, someone has figured it out, and someone has described that rule.
It's wild.
It's crazy. It's also got 30 years of rule writing, so they kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's been around forever, right? And like, this has been around.
They've been editing,
you know, as long as D&D's been around and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This Magic, the first set alpha was released in 1992. So we are in the 30th year anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me feel old because that is my birthday. Oh,
there
boy.
You go.
Yeah.
So on your turn.
So that all makes a lot of sense.
Yep. So on your turn, you're going to do one of five. You're going to do five different phases. The first phase is called your upkeep phase. Most of the time, this is when you get all of your stuff back, and then you draw a new card to your hand. So you're obviously going to have a hand of cards.
Right.
And then, so you're going to draw a card. The next phase is called the main phase. Okay. And this is the phase where you really play your cards, right?
So your monsters are acting. Whatever.
You're playing new monsters. You're activating. Oh. You're paying for those monsters with your creatures with your lands. You're right, casting spells. You're playing your enchantments. You're playing your artifacts. You're playing your cards.
Right.
After you're done your main phase, there is a combat phase. And that is where you send your monsters to attack your opponents, your creatures.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's similar to Yu-Gi-Oh!, but not. In Magic, as the attacker, you just attack. You don't get to pick and choose who you attack. You just attack your opponent, except for Planeswalkers.
Well, I'm going to, for one-on-one, yes, but in multiplayer, you can pick the person.
Well, you pick your opponents.
Yeah, you pick your
opponents. Yeah, so in multiplayer, you attack whatever opponent you choose, and you can split up who you attack.
Yeah.
Right.
So, for example, I can attack you with this creature and attack Tim with another creature.
Yeah.
Right. But in Yu-Gi-Oh, I would say I want to attack that Blue Eyes Right Dragon, or right. I want to attack Joey because he was a turd on the show, or Kaiba because he was also a turd.
Yeah.
Right.
But in Magic, you just attack.
Yeah. Okay, that's weird to me. So Okay. Well, keep going.
Yeah. Your opponents actually get to decide how and if they block.
If they've got any creatures on the board that are also not tapped, they can pick which creatures they want to block. If they've got multiple, they can choose to block multiple other creatures, or they can choose to have multiple creatures block one attacking creature.
So you're just using your deployed monsters as meat shields, essentially.
Pretty much. And there's a risk to it if one of the monsters that they're blocking is bigger than they are. In terms of power and toughness, they can die. We should probably
talk about like monsters have HP, right? Like, I mean,
all monsters have power and toughness.
Yeah.
So you know, on a magic card, they have the two numbers in the bottom right.
Nope.
Okay. Let's, we'll get into that.
Then. Sure don't, Chris.
We'll talk about creatures later. Okay, we'll get it. That's okay. Well, we're gonna say you have a 1 out of 10.
Maybe we're yeah, gonna get. If we we're gonna get a to a magic 2 out of 10. Card.
Let me do that real quick.
Hold on. Let's finish the turn, and then we'll start talking about the different types of cards.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Okay. So after the combat phase, that's when you do damage to your opponent. So let's say I attack and you don't block. You're right. You will take some amount of damage, however much damage I'm attacking with.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you go to zero life, you're dead.
You're putzky.
Yep. After combat phase, there is a second main phase. So you can, again, play creatures, play spells, play enchantments, play artifacts. You can do it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last phase is your end step.
Okay.
Which is kind of just like a cleanup step. Nothing really happens. There's some things that trigger in the end step. There's some actions, some events, some things that happen. But most of the time, unless something on the card says in the end step, you right. really don't have to do much in the end step.
Most of the time, it's the time for the blue player to say, on your end step, I'm going to do something. And yeah. then they do something.
Exactly.
Why is it just a blue player?
Well,
we'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
Oh, God. Okay.
Right. In Magic, so real basic, in Magic, there are five colors, right? Okay. So if you look at the back of a Magic card, mm-hmm. you see the exact five colors that are on there. There's white, red, blue, green, and black.
I don't like
that. I did that, that in super out of order.
Oh, that's why you were. I was going to say, I don't like that you had to hesitate.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I was thinking Wooburg. Okay, let me do that again. There's white, Wooburg. Blue. Yeah. So the acronym for colors in Magic is Wooburg. White, okay. blue, red, black, green.
Blue is you because black was already
no, B. White, blue, black, red, green.
Did I say white?
I said Wooburg wrong still. I'm going to get it eventually.
Okay.
White, blue, black, red, green. And that's the colors of Magic.
White, blue, black, red, green.
W, U, B, R, and G.
All of them except for blue stand for like the first letter of the color. Blue for what? Blue went to U because they already had black as B, so they just get U.
Each of the colors, you know, tend to revolve around a certain style of play.
Okay.
Right. White is very much the authoritative, like, control color in terms of it's like the tax color. Like, if you want to do this, you also have to do this. If you want to attack me, you have to pay this. If you want to do this ability, you have to activate these things, right? It's very much like control-y. Mm-hmm. Blue is the control in the other way, saying basically, I'm going to control this. So blue has a lot of things like counter spells, which are like, oh, you can't play that because I just countered it.
Yeah, they do a lot of,
you know, like trap cards, like a trap card.
Yeah, like you right? okay. blue is full of that. And blue is just like, no, you didn't actually play that card. Get it out of here. Or, oh, I see you have a bunch of creatures on your side of the board. I'm just going to send all of them back to your hand. You still have them, but they're not on the field anymore.
Yep. Blue also has
that's a lot inconvenient.
Of card draw.
It is.
Yep. Blue has a lot of card draw. Blue has a lot of deck searching.
Yep.
Blue has a lot of, it's called scrying, which lets you order your deck in a specific way. Mm-hmm. So blue is the control color.
Yes, okay, Slay the Spire Scry is the same.
Yeah, same thing.
Scry.
Yeah.
Scry it up. God, that game is good.
Slay the Spire is a very fun game.
Yeah, it is.
God, that game is good. We're also deeply obsessed with that right now. Side note. Yeah. Okay.
Black is the color of I will hurt myself to hurt you.
Yeah.
So black has a lot of like pay X life to do this ability, right? Mm-hmm. Typically, black is swamps for the color. I guess white is plains, blue is islands, black is swamp. So typically it's like the, if I win it one life, I still win. So a lot of black abilities are like sacrificing creatures or destroying your own things to do stuff to your opponents.
Like Iron Blood.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Red is the I'm gonna swing at your face as fast as humanly possible.
It's hyper flash.
Red is your aggro deck.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Red is typically the colors with fast attack burn spells, which are like just pay a mana, do damage.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about instants and sorceries and how those work later. Red is like the up in your face, let's get going.
Yeah.
Right.
And finally, green is the growth and big stuff.
Yeah.
So green is typically the color around ramp, which lets you play more lands, play more stuff. And then the things with like the big gargantuan creatures like hydras
and dinosaurs
and
Gyarados.
He would be blue.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. I guess
he would be a Leviathan.
Yeah. That's fair.
What's the green gen starter, the big one?
The green like is a island. Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Green is forest. Red is mountain. So
okay.
white you have plains. Blue you have islands. Black is swamp. Red is mountain. Green is forest.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I think really sets Magic apart from other trading card games is that color pie. and how much they kind of try to adhere to the play styles and like that feeling of what you're doing when you're playing those colors. So you can like really craft an identity in your deck of what you want to do. And like, usually the commanders tend to follow that coloring as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the big thing with commander, so Tim explained it a little earlier. When you play commander, you have one specific creature that is your commander for the deck.
Right.
Right. That creature is going to have a specific color to cast it, right? To play that mm-hmm. creature, right? Maybe it's red and green or blue and black. The rule for commander is the cards in your deck can only have the colors of your commander.
Oh, so that's cool.
That's the big rule, right? So if I have a commander that's only black, I can only have black cards in my deck. If I have a commander that's red and black, I can have cards that are red and black in my deck.
Yep. The only, there's like another fairly big rule, slightly less as big as the color, commander color identity, but all for commander, the format, all of your cards except for basic lands, or if the card specifically states that you can have multiple of the card, you can only have one. Like if you have a creature that's like I am big dinosaur creature, you cannot have another card in your deck that's also named big dinosaur creature.
Big dinosaur creature. Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It is referred to as a singleton format.
Oh, that makes sense to me as a software engineer.
Standard magic allows you four of. Commander is one of. So commander singleton, only in the colors of your commander, and it is instead of 60 cards, so regular like me versus you magic, it's called like standard, modern, whatever the formats are.
Right.
That's 60 card four of. Commander is 99 cards in the deck.
One of.
So the one of.
Yeah.
Except for basic lands.
Yeah.
So the decks are bigger, the decks are more diverse, the decks have more uniqueness to them than this standard decks because you have... And also in Commander, you have the entire history of Magic's cards that you can pick
from. Right. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to only limit yourself. You can. I mean, you can do whatever you want when you design your deck.
Yeah.
But if you want to, you know, if you're designing your deck, you don't have to limit yourself to specific sets. You can go all the way back. And if you had them and you're a maniac, except for the banned cards, you could put whatever card you want in your deck, even if you have cards from 1992.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, sorry, before we get too far away from colors, there is a, it's not a sixth color, but there is another kind that kind of acts somewhat like a color, which is colorless, and it does have its own like lands associated with it. They're called wastes.
That's pretty metal.
Yeah.
Think of this, right? Let's talk about magic as a whole. You are a sorcerer, right?
Right.
You are using the land around you to gather the mana, right? Lands. Right. Provide you with the mana, like you're sucking the magic out of a mountain,
out of the land,
right? Yeah. Out of the land itself,
right?
Which is also
really metal,
which is metal, right? To summon these creatures and shoot lightning bolts out of your hands and whatever, right? Like you're using the natural magic of the world that you're on,
right?
What Tim is saying, generic mana is like, let's say you have something that's like one and a mountain to cast. Mm-hmm. Right. You have to pull the mountain mana, but after that you're like, screw it, I don't care. Let's pull this river. I don't whatever. Right. So the generic mana just kind of represents something else.
Yeah.
Well, what I was getting at is there is also
But there mana. Is another symbol.
Well, there's another for symbol and specifically you can't use colored mana to cast it. Like if you there is a
which is the colorless.
Yeah, it's colorless. So there's generic, which is you any color, but then there is specifically colorless where it's like, you know, it cannot have a color identity to cast it.
It's a specific symbol only on like one set of creatures. But yes, it is there. It is colorless.
Yep.
You referred to a basic land earlier. Mm-hmm. Is that going to give like and you also need generic mana, but then like a specific land type mana to cast that card of that same color, right? Yeah. So like, how do I I'm gonna ask it in this way. Do I exhaust land?
Yes. So, well, you don't exhaust, you exhaust land for the turn.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So that was my question. Yeah, so so the land will stay on the field.
Yes.
Even after I like, I'm going to say charge to it.
Yeah.
I guess.
So right? Well, on your turn, let's say you want to play a card. You are allowed to naturally play one land per turn.
Like from
so
your
let's
hand.
Say in your hand, you have three mountains in four.
Okay. I just needed, I needed what play meant there. So play so means from my hand.
From your hand to the battlefield. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's say, let's say your hand is three mountains, four cards.
Right.
Right. On your first turn, you play a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have something that costs one mana, you can then play it. So the activation, you activate that land to play that ability. Right. Okay. So the order of operations for Magic is you say, I'm going to play this card. Mm-hmm. This card has a casting cost of one and a red. You then have to pay by turning sideways two lands or something that gives you two mana. Right. There's creatures that give mana. There's artifacts that give mana. You just need to be able to pay the cost of that spell, whatever you're doing. So think of them like in Hearthstone, you have the crystals, right?
Yeah, right.
You need to have an equivalent amount of crystals for your creature or for your spell.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think the difference there is that like you just kind of get those each turn. Right. In this case,
it's
the
in
cards.
Your the lands are part of your deck, so you want to get lands every turn as best as you can.
But like in Hearthstone, if you spent four, you get all four back the next turn, unless something says no, you don't. It's rare, but that does happen.
And
so
you get that
back. Like the last phase, you return all your cards.
You actually get it back in the upkeep. It's the first phase.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep. Right. But they all flip back and then you can reallocate as you go. So if I have some big monster out there.
Yeah.
Right. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna nitpick one thing. It's not the upkeep phase. It's the untap phase. It's its own phase.
Well, it's part of up.
I thought it was
upkeep
untap,
upkeep, draw. That's upkeep.
Oh, upkeep itself.
Upkeep is part of the upkeep phase.
Oh, really? I thought it was. Oh, that's weird. Then why do they untap, upkeep, draw? Like, why?
I don't know.
I'm upkeeping in my upkeep phase.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway, never mind.
They're pimping your upkeep, right? Yeah. They knew you needed the upkeep, so they put it inside your upkeep.
Exactly. I heard you liked upkeep.
Yeah, we're going to put your upkeep in your upkeep.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that makes a lot of sense to me, right? Like, I just wasn't sure, like, how, you know, much land, I guess it depends on the deck is really the answer, but, like, generally, how much land you want? Because, like, I can sort of relate this to, like, also when we were silly kids, we used to play a lot of the Pokemon trading card game, which I will maintain is also a blast. But you need, like, energy, right? You need energy cards on your Pokemon, right? Yeah. But, like, you would play the energy on a Mon, right? And it would not go away unless you used, like, Hyper Beam or some weird thing like that, right? You know what I mean? So
Mon gets knocked out, but yeah.
That's true, right? Yeah, and then they're gone, right? Then they're exhausted. So, like,
land does not go away unless it is specifically destroyed by something.
Yeah.
Like a laser beam.
Yeah, there is a card called Laser Beam of Land. And it destroys.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
No.
It just goes, pew! Yeah. That's the only words on the card.
Yeah, that's the flavor text is, pew, pew, pew.
Maybe in Neon Dynasty we'll see that.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new set coming out that's very cyber ninja based.
Really? Like in a Far Cry Blood Dragon kind of way?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
No more way! Like a, more like a cyber. Awesome.
I would say like cyberpunk.
Yeah, but Far Cry Blood Dragon was cyberpunk.
It sure was. That was a blast.
I don't think Kamigawa has like dinosaurs. I think they have dragons and shrines.
Yeah. But like it's all neon and like lasers and like glowing swords.
No way.
And stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, that would be my ish for sure.
You should come to pre-release.
We could do a draft or something.
That'd be so funny, man. Yeah. Those cards must be awesome. That's hilarious.
Well, it's new. We don't know what is in there yet.
Yeah, they haven't spoiled anything yet.
They haven't spoiled anything.
Just to real quick to get into it. The act of like tapping lands, tapping.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Tapping is like something that you do to a lot of different things to make abilities happen. Like on creatures, some creatures will say, if you tap this card, you can do something with the creature. Right.
Can that also generate generic or colored mana as well? Like
but only if it says,
here's mana, you know?
Only if it says specifically on the card, tap this to add mana. it won't.
Is there a Yoshi-esque card that generates mana?
Tons,
like a
tons.
Like a but dinosaur Yoshi, pooping out an egg.
Like, are there dinosaurs, you know, that add mana?
You know, and I would like to think though, if the dinosaurs are generating mana, I would like to think that they would lay eggs like Yoshi would.
I don't know if there's any specific dinosaurs that make mana.
Yeah, the dinosaurs might be a stretch, but there's tons of creatures in general.
Tons of creatures, tons
okay,
of
okay, that
other
makes a lot
things.
Of sense.
There is a bird, the bird of paradise.
Oh, that's
it
true.
It lays an egg.
Oh, yeah?
It lays a little that's egg very... of mana.
Mitch, no, I'm going to give you a saying that I need you to remember. If all else fails, this is what you remember.
Uh-huh.
Bolt the bird.
Okay.
And we'll get back to that. I'll explain that later when we talk about creatures and spells and things like that.
I feel like there's
and
more
Bolt
important.
The bird?
It's definitely a very important thing to remember. But
no, that's my big
important.
Takeaway. I also hope that's what you guys named the episode.
Bolt the bird.
Bolt the bird.
All right. Now that we kind of have an idea of the colors and playing cards and activating.
Yeah, no, that was a really good intro. Thanks, guys. I feel like
You've gone from 1 to 1.5. Let's get you to 2.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about the different types of cards.
Okay.
So in your deck, there's going to be two like main types of cards. There's permanents, and then I can't remember the name of them, but they're kind of like called instants and sorceries.
Yeah, they're not spells because everything coming from your hand is kind of considered a spell except for land.
Yeah.
But... Actually, is land considered... Land's not a spell.
No, land is not a spell.
Yeah. So they're not spells, but think of them like spells, like your traditional spell. You know, like it is... You pay mana to have something kind of happen, and then after that, the card then goes away.
We'll call them one-shots.
Sure, yeah, one-shots. Sure. That works.
One-shot, right.
So those are cards that exhaust.
Pretty much, yeah.
Cards that you do the ability and they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Permanents are basically anything that sticks around the battlefield.
Okay.
So, for example, your land is a permanent because you play it stays. Your creatures that you play are permanent creatures because they stay until they are killed or sacrificed or whatever. Right? Enchantments, which Tim was describing earlier, are permanents.
Mm-hmm.
Artifacts, which are kind of like trinkets, right? Like rings and weapons and equipment.
Right.
Those are permanents as well.
Oh.
Those are the main types of permanents. There's another thing called a planeswalker, which is like another, like, imagine you have like a partner that comes into the game and is there to help you out, right? They are permanents as well.
That's kind of cool.
But for the most part, more fragile, but they're there to like give you like incremental benefits and things like that.
Yeah.
Huh. Like a summonable ally or like a summon almost.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Those are the main permanents. Obviously, there's more nuance. You can have like artifact creatures. You can have artifact enchantments, auras and sagas and all these other things. But for the most part, those are your main permanents.
Okay.
The one-shots are instants and sorceries.
Mm-hmm.
Sorceries are things that you can only play in your main phases. So if something is like, search your deck for a land and play that land. Right, like something, a card called Rampant Growth, right? That's a ramp card or something like that.
Mm.
There's other cards that are like, play this for 3 mana, get 5 mana.
They're almost like trainer cards from Pokemon.
Kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Bill, like draw 2 cards.
Yeah.
Like an event.
Like that's a sorcery or something like
that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yep. Right.
There's also Instants, which can be played at any time, including your opponent's turns.
And sometimes in response to like what they've just done,
exactly. Right.
So those are like reaction cards.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
That's really more of what I would consider to be like a trap card to me.
Yeah, but unlike trap cards, they're not like sitting there waiting because trap cards.
Right. This was like a
It's in your
like
hand.
Like an undo or a cancel. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Cancel. There's actually a magic card named cancel.
Cancel. Right. Mm-hmm.
So those are really the main cards that are going to be in your deck.
Yep.
Yep.
Right, creatures naturally have a... Okay, so all magic cards are kind of organized the same way. The casting cost is up in the top right, name in the top left.
Okay.
Then you have the art, and the middle is what it is. So it defines it if it's a sorcery, instant, creature, type, artifact, whatever,
right?
In the middle. And the bottom is what it does, and then...
Do you want to just pull up a card?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of describing it for everybody, but Mitch, if you want to look at a card,
that's
welcome.
Fair, but like we can describe it while he's looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up a card. I do remember, the one thing I do remember about Magic cards is the circles with stars in them. Is that
circles
right?
With stars. There are
Oh, no,
stars.
That's Yu-Gi-Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, there's no circles with stars. Yeah, that's like your creature's like
that's your creature's power. Yeah. Or like his rarity.
Oh no, yeah, those things. Oh, there's a shark. Yeah.
Oh no, those things.
Anyway, for a creature, so typically creatures all creatures have a power and toughness. Power is how much damage they do, toughness is how much damage they can take. Mm-hmm. So if I have, and it's always power/toughness. Mm-hmm. So for example, if I play a creature and I see 5/7, it has 5 power, 7 toughness.
Right.
So that means anytime I attack, if I attack you, it does 5 damage to you. And if then, you block with a creature, you have to do at least 7 damage to it to kill it.
There's also, just real quick, you can, in Commander it's a little bit harder, but you can still find ways to do it. You can have any number of any creature on the battlefield at one time, as long as you know you find a way to copy it, except for if it says legendary creature. You can only ever have one legendary creature on the battlefield at the time. Same thing goes for enchantments and artifacts. Those all have legendary, some of them have legendary in the name. You can't
typically legendary applies to something that's a named creature, right? So if I have a creature that's just horse, right, it's just going to be a creature, right?
You can have as many horses as you want.
You can have as many creature named horse as you want, but if you have a creature named Bob the horse, it's typically a legendary creature. You can only have one of them because, you know, in the Magic universe there aren't 17 Bob the horses,
right?
There's one Bob the horse.
I have a bone to pick with that ideology. Magic is about infinite planes across infinite universes. There's more than one Bob the horse somewhere.
Maybe. That's why we have there's Bob the Ineffable Horse, and then Bob the Plutonian Horse, right?
Bob,
like, you can have two of the Bobs. As long as the Bobs have different names. Like, it could be Bob the Horse 1 and Bob the Horse 2 for all we care.
Yeah,
that
is
love
true.
That we picked Bob, because all I can think of is Bob's Burgers. I'm picturing the horse just going, oh my god.
Would you rather me actually call some of the Zindersplit the Zindersplit?
No, not
the
at
eyesore?
All. I mean, Bob's really dumbing it down for me. It's helping me get from the 1.5 to a 2.
There we go. Perfect.
So, for instance, I'm looking at Shabraz the Sky Shark, which, again, is very metal. I'm noticing a lot of things in Magic are pretty hella metal, you guys.
Chris, we need to show him Meat Hook Massacre.
Ooh.
Get the heck out of here. That's a card?
That's a card. It's called...
I am Googling, you had me at Meat Hook.
It's called The Meat Hook Master.
I'm Googling that next. So you were talking about toughness and...
Power.
Power, right. Power. So, Shabraz. Did I say that right?
Shabraz? Shabraz? Shabraz?
Shabraz.
Shables. Just go Shables.
Shables? Shables the Sharky Boy?
Shablammer.
Yeah. Shibbly. Shibbly the Sharky.
Shibbly, yeah.
So he has a 3 and a 3. Yes. Right. So if you had some other creature out there, you were saying 5 and 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would not be able, and that 5-7 homie was trying to, you know, attack me, right? I could not send my shark meat shield out because it does not have, my numbers are lower, right? What
you
is
could,
that interaction?
I mean, you could,
but it would die. It would die. Unless the card says on it,
so it would just get splattered, would be fine.
Yes,
you can send your meat shields out to protect you,
and that's called chump blocking. You might hear us say that at some point, like
chump
blocking.
Yeah,
oh,
where you just
funny.
Like, because there are times when you'll be in a game and you'll have a creature that's like 50-50, and it's like,
okay,
if you get hit by that, you're immediately dead, but you also have a 1-1, and unless there's a way for that to damage to spill over, which there is, and we can get into that, but if there's nothing special about this card, this 50-50, other than the fact that it's huge, you can chump block it with a 1-1 and you take no damage. The 1-1 just
get
gets,
the heck out of here.
It gets
that's
completely,
wild.
It gets destroyed.
The 1-1 dies.
I mean, obviously it gets obliterated.
Yeah. But
you know,
for that turn, you're good.
But that obliteration is the same whether that card's a 1-1 or a 49-49 in comparison to that 50-50.
Yeah, as long
yes and no. So damage on creatures is persistent through the turn.
Yeah.
So
do we want to get that in depth? Because
a little,
Chris
I guess.
Right.
So let's say you have a 49-49 I don't know why we pick such big numbers. Let's say you have
a billion.
One Dr. Evil's magic and powers.
A billion toughness.
Let's say I attack you with a 5/5.
Okay.
Right. And you have a 1/1 on the battlefield.
Can it be the shark?
Sure. Okay. Let's say you have Let's say I have a 5/5 and I'm attacking you.
Yeah, right.
So I have 5 damage coming at you.
Okay.
You block with Shabraz.
I do.
Shabraz dies because he has 3 toughness.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. You take no damage.
Cool.
You do 3 damage to my 5/5 because Shabraz has a power of 3.
Oh, so I automatically counter.
By blocking, you do that damage, right? It's like they're hitting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So then...
Then, let's say something...
Your monster only have 2 toughness left.
Until the end of the turn.
Yeah.
It's pretty
so wild. Maybe you have a card in your hand.
Is it turn or phase?
Turn.
It's turn, okay.
I was going to say phase seems restrictive, right?
So How would you ever be able to follow up? Maybe in your hand, you have a card that's like 1 mana, deal 2 damage to a creature. Mm-hmm. If you block with the 3/3, you would kill it. If you block with the 1/1, you don't have enough damage to kill it.
Yeah.
Right? So chump blocking is kind of just like one of those like, I just need to block this so I don't die a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Huh. But when you really get into like a close game, there's a lot of strategy in deciding how you're going to block, who you're going to block, what cards you have in hand, you know.
Right.
Like, because then maybe your opponent has a card in hand that's like, make creature +2/+2, and he gets bigger, you know? Right. So there's all these responses. It's a very much, there's a lot of different strategy when it comes to deciding how to attack and how to block.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let's go to the other card. What was it, Meat Tornado?
Oh, Meat Hook? The Meat Hook Massacre.
I wish there was Meat Tornado.
Yes, please don't look. Anyone listening, please do not Google Meat Tornado.
No.
Disagree. Hook Massacre. Oh, well, there it is. It was third option.
Probably my favorite card from last year.
The Meat Hook Massacre. Innistrad? Mm-hmm.
It's from Innistrad Midnight Hunt.
This card is expensive.
It is expensive. Because
it's really good.
It's a really good card.
Probably, I would say, like one of the best from that set.
It is the best from that set. That is hands down the best card in that set. There's a reason that it's $50.
Each creature gets max until end of turn. Whenever a creature you control dies. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Grim Reaper kind of thing. Now what? Okay. So I get... So this is an enchantment.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's getting it.
Okay. Oh, I see that. It says it in the middle.
Yep.
Okay. What determines X?
How much mana you pay.
You pick.
Yeah, you get to choose how much. So if it's 1, and it'll say in the... I forget what Meat Hook Massacre does, but in there it'll say somewhere, do this X times, or do X damage. And that X is
how much each mana. Creature gets -X until the end of a turn. Yeah. Now, when it says each creature, does it mean each of your opponent's creatures, or is this just a blight on the entire...
Yeah.
It's literal.
So it's... if the one thing in Magic that people always try and like... hone in on is if the card does not explicitly say it doesn't do that. Now, and there are some cards that you kind of have to like sound out and maybe look at a ruling by like what they meant by the wording.
I was gonna say the language is general on the card. Like
if it says each creature, it means each creature.
Yeah. Magic is a very literal game.
And this is, I'm assuming, a black card here.
Yes. You can see the swamp symbol up in the top right. It's got the black border on it. It's got a floating hand. It's pretty black.
That could be pretty red, man.
It's got a floating... it's pretty black.
Chris, you know...
No, wait, I'm sorry. Where's the swamp here on that?
You see up in the top right, that skull-looking thing?
Oh, that's swamp.
That's the symbol for a swamp.
Yeah.
So this is a colorless card.
No, this is a black card.
Oh, it's a black card. Okay. Yep, oh, but you need swamp. I got it.
So black to card, cast this card, you need 2 swamps, one for each black. Yeah. And then the X is however much mana you want to play after that.
And that can be any color.
It could be 0. It could be 5. It could be whatever you want.
2 swamps, one for each black. Oh, color is the generic mana. I got it. Okay.
The X is the generic mana. That's crazy.
two cards. So two swamps,
you need,
one
you,
for
to
each
to be able to
black.
Cast this, you need to tap
one for
two
each
swamp.
Black what? Okay.
Simple. Yeah. So each swamp on the card, you need to pay one. Each skull means I have to pay one swamp. You
okay,
need to tap one swamp.
Yeah. And you, so that's right, like your right, base, right. For this card, that's like your baseline, no matter what you're doing. And also that doesn't apply, only the amount you put into the X applies. So you pay two essentially just to cast the card, and then the X is to like ramp
and
it.
Then you're like, oh, I want one, two, three, these four right here are also going to go to the meat
exactly,
hook.
Yep.
Exactly. And at that point, every single creature on the battlefield gets -4/-4.
I guess, should we talk real quick about what that implies?
It's wild. I mean, like, well, I think what it implies is that you can just, like, completely normalize every creature out there and start blowing things away.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
so in Magic, anytime, no matter how it works, if a creature's toughness goes to zero, they die. They die.
Well... No, that's why I wanted to... No, because combat damage does not. If it reduces your toughness to zero, you can live if you're indestructible.
If you're indestructible. But this gets around
indestructible. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay,
boy.
So, like, it's kind of... It's a little weird, but, like, saying something gets -X/-X is different than, like, dealing damage. Because some things say... If you get dealt so much damage that the creature would die, it actually doesn't die. That's called indestructible. This gets around that because it's not dealing damage. It's just saying you lose. You're essentially a 0/0 creature, and then it just kind of ceases to exist at that point.
I was gonna say that's a death state it's like dividing by zero for a magic
Pretty
card.
Much.
Yeah.
Well, right. So one thing
0/0. Sorry. Inhaler.
One thing Tim said there was indestructible. I think it's now's a good time to talk a little bit about keywords. So
yeah, I don't think we should get too.
We won't.
So
I won't go into too much detail about it. Just know that they.
Give me another fun card. Give me another like rad card. You know that I can look up. The meat hook was fun.
Another rad card.
Yeah, give me one more like fun one with like neat things that we can talk about.
What do you
want?
Do you want a creature? Do you want an enchantment? An artifact?
Give me a big dinosaur that's fun. I want to. For some reason, I'm like really on the dinosaur.
How do you feel about dragons?
I feel great about them.
Dragons are like my favorite creature type, and
hit me up with your funnest dragon boy dog. Honestly, me up with some big homie. Yeah.
I played some games with Eric, friend of the podcast. And,
oh, what a homie. Yeah. Hey, man, if you're listening, I love you.
And our mutual friend, Robbie, who is also a fan of the podcast, but he has not been on it.
That homie. Hey, and Robbie, if you're listening, I also love you, pal.
Actually, no, he doesn't listen.
I know.
Wow.
What a turd.
Yeah, he's a turd. Anyway. Yeah, so we love Eric and we hate Robbie. Anyway,
Robbie, I hate your guts, dude.
I was playing a game with them and I absolutely just destroyed them with Old Gnawbone, which is
probably the second best card to come out last year.
Yeah, it's insane.
Oh.
So go look that up and we'll just talk about like why that card is ridiculous.
Yeah, great. Let's do this. Okay, so first thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. Again, real metal, right?
Oh, yeah,
very metal. Yeah, dude, the name is good. Mm-hmm. The dragon is large. Right?
And in charge.
Definitely. I would have to say that he is also in charge, for sure. Flying. What is flying?
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about keywords.
See? It all worked out. Full circle.
Magic. In Magic, the game is extremely literal, like we were just saying.
Okay, yeah.
Right. That means, over the past 30 years, the people at Wizards have gotten really tired of describing effects that go on cards. Right? So typically in Magic, if there's an ability... that a lot of stuff has that ability, they'll keyword it. So flying is called an evergreen keyword because it's a name.
They do it almost every set.
They do it in every set.
Every set, yeah. If not every set.
Some sets
it always
have new ones.
Means the same thing.
It always will mean the same thing. Exactly. Yeah, right? Indestructible is another keyword.
Yep.
Tim talked about that before. Yep. Right? Mm-hmm. Flying, the example of flying is... it can only be blocked by things that also have flying or a keyword named reach. So it's basically an evasion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. So it's like it's like a bird, right? You can't, like, if you're standing on the ground, you can't punch a bird in the sky.
Well, it's like the flying state in Pokemon, for sure.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. I mean, yeah. So there's there's
like the and reach allows you to, like, you know,
reach. It's like imagine like an archer has reach or something.
Yeah. Right, for sure. Yeah, yeah, okay.
But there's just
anti-air essentially is what reach is.
Yep.
Pretty much. Exactly. Right. There's tons of keywords.
That's easy enough to understand. Yep.
Tons of keywords, tons of different evergreen abilities. We're not gonna really get into them. Just to name a few, you know. Menace. Trample,
hexproof,
hexproof, shroud, island walk, planes walk.
Yeah, there's so many. I couldn't count how many there are. There's a crazy amount of evergreen at this point, ones that just show up all the time. And then think there's some that are so obscure that Wizards has said they'll never print them again. Just absolutely
banding.
Yeah. Yeah, bandings. It's just things that, like, you'll never see. And sometimes you'll be playing a game at your LGS.
And you'll see one of these bonkers things. Yeah, and you're like,
what the hell is that? I have no idea what banding is.
How do you... Yeah, what's banding? Like,
It's so difficult to explain. You would need to be at, like, a 7 right now.
Yeah.
It's not even... Yeah, so, no. You know. So that's crazy, though, that, like, there were... I mean, it's an old game, right? It's just wild that, like, they can look at that and say... I mean, it's not. It's like banning cards, too, or whatever. But it's like, just to say, like, this thing was whack and we're never going to do it again is, like, crazy to watch, like, an evolution of a game like this, right?
That's such a long time. And that's the fun thing about this game is every new set that comes out, they're trying new stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you're always going to see flying. You're always going to see indestructible. That's just, those are evergreen. They're going to be in every set. But like this last set, they came out with new mechanics. They had daybound, nightbound, which is something that werewolves get. They, you know, you have cards that have different abilities on the front and the back, depending on if it's day or night.
Yeah. And it gets
so there's some really, there's another mechanic named Cleave that they just came out with, which is like, you can pay for the card, but if you pay something different, you get to literally cut words out of the sentence of what the card does, right? So like you could pay one in a black and it'll say destroy target non-black creature. But if you pay one black and green, it cuts out the non-black part of the text and the card just says destroy target creature.
Yeah. It's
so really like cool. They come up with really, really neat mechanics.
So there are really, I think what's crazy about Magic is that almost like in the same way that you said that there are, like, it's insanely regulated in terms of the structure and the rules. At the same time, you guys are, like, saying some of these things to me, and it sounds like it's the wild freaking West in terms of just, like, just the differences between, like, here is exactly what a Pokemon or a monster in Yu-Gi-Oh! Can do, and, like, generally, it's going to basically just be attack or a debuff, but, like, you know...
Yep.
There are no cards in Yu-Gi-Oh! That are like, cut out whatever word you want on the card and do all this other crazy nonsense. Like, you know what I mean? So that's pretty compelling, as I guess my point.
Yeah.
You know? That's
him, Chris.
We got him. He's hooked.
Oh, my God. No, I mean, it is pretty neat that we got him.
I think
Gnawbone was cool. So let's real quick on to Gnawbone,
if
I may. What's a treasure token? Those sound fun.
Yeah, so treasure token... And I guess we'll start off real quick by talking about what a token is.
What's a token?
A token is like usually a card that is super generic. It's not even like, it doesn't have a name or anything. Like, for artifacts, a treasure token, it's just treasure. It's just called treasure. Treasure all does the same thing. A lot of them will be like, make a 1/1 human token. It has no name. It doesn't do anything. It's just a 1/1 body, but it's a token. And additionally, tokens, they do not exist once they're gotten rid of. So, like, say, if they're on the battlefield...
I would describe tokens as a non-permanent permanent.
Well, I was trying to avoid... Because, yes, but that's like...
It's a little confusing.
No, that makes sense to me. Like, a token, though, is going to be something that is... It's on like, the battlefield when created.
A token is typically a one and done thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So like a treasure. So let's say I kill one of your creatures. I kill a non-token creature of yours. Mm-hmm. It would go to the graveyard. Mm-hmm. There are cards that allow you to play things out of a graveyard, right? Reanimate.
Okay,
dead,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. Exhume,
you could get that creature back. If I kill one of your tokens, it's gone for good. You cannot get it back.
Right. Yeah. It's just poof.
Technically,
so is this treasure token a currency? Do you pay for something with this treasure token?
Yeah. So what a treasure token does is it says you have to tap it and sacrifice the token. So it goes away. Okay. And then when you do that, you can create one mana of any color.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. So a treasure token is basically like a land that disappears.
But at the same time, it's wild.
Yeah, so it's very useful. It's very useful.
Yeah, that's really useful. Can you make that a swamp?
Yeah.
You can make it any color you want.
You're right, it's any color you want. Yeah. It's whatever you want it to be. Yeah, exactly. It's a treasure token.
Yeah. So what Old Gnawbone says is whenever any creature deals damage, you make that many, or is it to any player? I kind of forget.
Whenever a creature you control deals damage to an opponent.
To an opponent. Okay, so it does have to hit a person. But it's got flying, so that's not always very difficult. So when you hit an opponent...
And it's 4/7, right? So
That's him. This says any creature. So you could have 10 creatures that all get through and do 50 damage to a bunch of opponents. You make 50 treasure, and then now you have 50 mana to use whenever you want.
Oh, because it's whenever any creature that you control, not Old Gnawbone themselves.
Yep.
Wow.
There's a reason that he's the most expensive card from the D&D set.
He's insanely good. And so I played that.
So you need a total of 7 lands to play this card, but 2 of them have to be green.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. He's getting it.
Bingo.
Oh, you're at a 2, dude. You're at that 2.
You're at a 2? Am I at a 2?
You might get to 2.5.
Maybe. I think if we teach him one more keyword, he'll be at a 2.5.
Okay. Yeah.
Live upkeep.
I feel like it's like letter of the day almost, but this is not Sesame Street. This is Magic the Frickin' Gathering.
7 I've mana.
The mana of the day is gee. Swamp. Hey, nice. Listen, the street's a good show.
Someone's watching it today.
Yeah. I watch it all the time with Ben. Tay Diggs is on the street, you know?
Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs, baby.
All right. So we've been recording for almost an hour now.
Yeah.
We're
probably getting up there. I don't. Is there anything else about in general of like the game?
So one of the things that Sean suggested we talk about is how do we get new people into the game?
That's a great question. How do I start doing this?
Yes. Right? All right, Mitch, let's say you've heard us talk about it. You went out in Google and searched awesome casual commander podcasts. You listened to us a couple times. You're like, this game.
How do I get going with my boys?
How do you get the boys rolling? Right. Always a good place to go is your friendly local gaming store.
Okay.
Right. A lot of times your gaming stores will have Magic events. Magic is a very popular game. For events. So whenever a new set comes out, there's always pre-release, which is just hey, here's the new set. Let's play it. Let's try it out. There's always drafts every Monday at our like gaming store. There's drafting, which is another format you can play. It's exactly as it sounds, right? You take a pack of Magic cards, you keep one and pass it. And then everyone passes the pack in a circle. And then you build a deck with the cards you draft. Yep. It's like a fantasy sports draft.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yep. Right? So it's really fun. There's obviously Commander Nights that you can go play with your friends. Mm-hmm. If you just want to get into Commander, let's say you and your boys are like, yo, let's play some Commander tonight.
Let's rip it up.
My recommendation, get the pre-con decks.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You want to explain them to him?
Oh, yeah. A pre-con deck is essentially, most sets, they come out with commander pre-cons, which are decks that wizards themselves have put together. You don't have to put any thought into the deck building. They're just like, here's your deck list, have fun with it.
And so, popping, right?
Mm-hmm. So you open it up, you shuffle it, you take the commander out, you shuffle it, and then you start playing. They're super cheap, at least when they first come out.
Yeah.
Some of them will have skyrocketed in price because they were just insane. Not all of them do that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, when they come out, I'd say top end, maybe $50 is probably the most expensive one I've seen. Usually around
it's
the
not
30,
bad at all.
30
most of them. Most of them are like $25 to $40.
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty reasonable as far as like cards. An initial yeah. barrier to entry, you know, yep. like as a, if that
if
can
you're
just
interested,
like, you know, get me playing a game, then
yeah. If you're interested, a lot of times the decks that you are buying typically are more valuable than what you're paying because they do reprint cards. There's new cards in the deck. It's like if you buy a commander, if you buy a pre-con deck for $35, the total card value is like 90.
Yeah.
If you wanted to like sell the cards or whatnot.
Yeah.
So there is obviously
cool
if you piece it
so
out.
So there
yeah.
is valuable. There is value to buying them.
So
right. Yeah.
And they're but just from like a playing standpoint, you literally open them up and they're usually very simple game styles. Like one of them will be like there's all of like there's a bunch of these creatures and these creatures are vampires and vampires do fun things. They make you lose life if they die. They can gain you life back. Like they just kind of do some things, but very straightforward. You're just going to play vampires that have benefits and then just go from there. There's not a lot of
right.
like never infinite combos or anything. It's just a very straightforward mechanic that it follows.
Yeah. Right. The sets typically come out themed around the new mechanics of the sets being released.
Yeah.
So for example, the most recent one we had, Innistrad Crimson Vow, we got a vampire deck and a spirits deck because the mechanics of vampires and spirits were the main focus of that set.
Yeah.
Right. The set before that was humans and werewolves because Innistrad Midnight Hunt was a human and werewolf focused set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or humans and zombies. Sorry, not werewolves. Humans and zombies.
And I'll say, if you've got friends who have decks like this guy right here, and you're not just, you just don't even want to put $30 into it because you're like, I don't know if I'm going to like it whatsoever. And you just want to try it out. Just ask them, be like, hey, let's set up a night. Can I just borrow one of your decks? I've never met a commander player who's like, no, you can't use my deck.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
It's rude.
Yeah.
Maybe not the expensive ones.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not the expensive ones.
We'll give you our pre-cons.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But, and the benefit of that is that, you're playing with someone who like knows that deck, and most of the time, unless you got an asshole for a friend, they're not going to be like, I'm not going to tell you how to play this deck because I'm trying to win. They'll be like, no, I know how this deck works. I know what you should be doing to beat.
Yeah, here's what you should try to do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So I think the best way, if possible, is to play with friends first.
For sure.
Just to see how it is. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any friends that play Magic, then get a pre-con and maybe go to an LGS and then just say, hey guys, I'm completely new. I'm trying to get into it. I've been to a couple so far and like everyone's always very willing. There's very few people that are like, I don't have time to try and teach someone else how to play this game.
Whenever I go to pre-release and I play against someone who is obviously new to the game, I like to, after we're done playing, help them build their deck better.
Yep.
So that they can learn, they can understand it a little better. And I think people really do appreciate that because they see, you know, having been around the block a few more, a number of times, it's a lot easier to build a deck when you have someone helping you out.
Yeah.
Well, I think with such, with such variability of cards and strategies, it is also genuinely overwhelming for players that are new, just in terms of what's at your disposal immediately.
Oh, for sure.
Like, there's no... You know, just there's the only way to learn what's out there and what synergies are going to work for you is to play, like anything else, right?
In Magic, you could ask, I mean, this was one of the questions from Casamigos. There's over 22,000 unique cards in Magic the Gathering.
That's nutso.
Yeah.
That's
30
that's
years
really
in Magic
wild.
History. So,
is there, let me ask this. If there's a, let's say you are more of an, the tech side of things, right? If you're trying to be just to kind of sort of play the game, but maybe not put any money into it, is there any, what am I trying to say? Like,
online.
Is there a video game version of Magic?
Yeah,
online. Yep. Thank you. That's the word.
Is there
like a, you know, online game or something like that?
Yep.
There are, but you're going to be putting money into it, to be honest with you.
Right.
Well,
okay.
You
for,
can,
for
so
the
there's
main
two,
one. Yes.
Yeah. There's two main Wizards sanctioned games.
Yeah.
There's Magic the Gathering Arena, and then there's Magic the Gathering Online.
Okay.
MTG Arena is the more recently produced one. It's really only more recent sets, but it's like they're really nice and polished and mobile format and desktop format, right? So like if you and I wanted to just play a quick game, we could just hop onto Arena.
And it
MTG Online is basically the tabletop version, but on the computer.
But online, yeah.
But online,
so that would
right.
a little.
So like you different. Own the cards in online.
Yeah.
Like you have, it's almost like NFTs, to be honest with you. Like you
kind of yeah, have that. Yeah, that's. I was gonna say it certainly sounds like it. So Arena, I'm not. You know,
Arena
putting
is,
barrels of cash into to play.
Arena is technically at its core free to play. However, cool. they do have freemium aspects to it that lets you yep. get your deck quicker, get mm-hmm. better cards. Like there are.
Damn, our whole lives are freemium now, brother.
It is, yeah. Yep. So it's like,
but, you know,
it's I always liken it to people who are asking to League of Legends. League of Legends is 100% free to play. But if you want to spend money to get champions faster and get skins,
throw
and
stuff, it down.
You can throw some for money sure. in. So
right,
yeah,
yeah. But at cool. the same time, you don't have to spend a single penny.
You don't have yeah. to.
And I will say, right. Arena does actually have a. If you want to like learn the basics of the game, mm-hmm. Arena.
I was
going to
say, I think that. Yeah. I think if Arena would be free to play, like just something that I could do in my own time, that sounds like a great way for me to just like get some rounds in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
with just
it has
like
really
cards.
Nice tutorials.
Arena right, has a very sure. good intro tutorial.
Yeah.
It shows
That's
you how
cool.
to play, that shows you the turn yeah. structure, yep. how to mm-hmm. attack, how to tap, how to use abilities, yep. all that stuff.
Right.
And obviously yep. for the people that play Magic, if you want to get your friends into Magic, yep. go ask.
Yeah. I was just about to say that. I think the question at the root was, how do I get my friends into it? And if they've shown interest, honestly, just bring a deck over and say, hey, let's play a game and I'll walk you through it. It's a very, yeah. it's a huge game, 22,000 cards, so many like rules and everything. But at its core, it is, I think, quite simple to grasp. You can mm-hmm. get into the nitty gritty, but it's very easy to explain. Okay, now it's this turn. On this turn,
if
this
you guys,
happens.
If you guys can get me to a 2 out of 10, me, yeah. to a 2 out of 10 on this in an hour, anybody can play.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think
I do think though it is important if you're going to be teaching somebody new to bring a simple deck.
Yes, definitely.
Do not bring like I'm not bringing Lich deck to teach Mitch.
Nope. But also right? don't do that because they want to have fun.
Exactly. You know. You know, this is why the pre-cons are great, because the pre-cons have a very straightforward play style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
play zombies and swing. Play mm-hmm. this and swing. Play these right. kinds of spells. Make yeah. these tokens. That's a great, great way to teach players how to play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also tons of great resources online.
Yeah.
So let's say you do actually play and you like it and you want to build a deck yourself. There's a website called EDHREC, EDHREC.com. Very good tool for building decks. It mm-hmm. shows you all the good cards. Or not good cards. It shows you cards that people have put into their decks. The EDH subreddit is a really good resource as well. Scryfall is very good. That's like the Magic sanctioned one. That's yeah. where you can see any card in Magic history. Anything yep. I'm missing?
That's Tim? Also a pretty clever name for a site too.
Yeah,
Scryfall.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I don't want to get demonetized.
Oh. Oh boy.
Is that the song?
No, yeah. Whoa. You remember Skyfall?
Adele was going to sue us now.
Yeah, she really is. I wouldn't even
She's
let Chris...
coming after.
On the Casamigos challenge, I was getting up Chris's butt about playing the Taco Bell ding, so we're not going to keep that part in. He would keep doing it and be like, Bong. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to do it. Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Boom.
And then Eric was like, Tim, Chris is just trying to live Moss. And I was like, dude, shut
yeah,
up.
Dude. Oh, my God.
good old Eric.
Yeah.
Oh man, he's great.
So
I think
so. Yeah, tons.
Get friends tons like Eric, and then play Magic with him.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, man. That's like it's as simple as that, right?
Just
go to his house right now.
The lowest risk is you just bring your easy to learn decks to your friend's house. They don't have to spend a dime. You're there. You already know how the deck works, so you know how to help them play it. It's really if a friend has shown interest, that I think that's the best way. If you're mm-hmm. someone who has interest and maybe doesn't have any friends at the moment who play Magic, then I'd say start with the pre-con. It's a really small investment. It's $30. That's like half a video mm-hmm. game.
It yeah. sure is.
So,
and honestly, there's tons of how to play videos out there. Mm-hmm. You know, like yep. If you have no idea, you're just getting into the hobby and somehow you found our podcast and are listening to it.
Yeah.
What's up?
You know, go watch like Game Nights.
Yeah.
Right. A great, you know, it's a video put out by a podcast called The Command Zone, mm-hmm. basically of them playing a game.
Yep.
So you could watch them play, understand the kind of plays they're making, see what they're doing. There's tons of different channels that do that.
Yeah.
Lots of content out there. A big popular one right now is, I think, I Hate Your Deck.
I Hate Your Deck is getting real big. They're funny, yeah, too.
I Hate Your Deck is funny. I like
that's another guys. Great name. Wow, that's yeah, really clever. I Hate Your Deck.
Mm-hmm. They've had like crazy people on there. Like Post Malone was on.
Dude, I don't know if you knew this.
Plays Magic.
Dude, Wizard partnered with Posty.
Of course they did.
Yeah,
that's bananas.
Well, he's like probably the biggest name right now that plays Magic like openly,
actively.
Henry Cavill plays Magic.
Henry does.
He does play. Oh okay. Henry Cavill's up there too. He's number Magic. One in my heart. But
hey, you know.
Yeah.
So it's Magic is becoming a huge game, and it's becoming like I definitely had a stigma, at least when I was growing up in high school, like that it was nerdy. And I was nerdy, so I was like, okay, yeah, what about it? You know, I'm fine.
That was our MO, man.
Yeah, and it's becoming more mainstream because I think people are realizing, like, it's just a really good game. It's solidly put together. The rules are very...
It's the grandfather TCG card game.
Yeah, it's the one, like, Pokemon based itself off of them. Wizards actually, like, made the first Pokemon sets, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you can see Wizards a lot of the...
Yeah.
You know, same things that are from what I can remember about playing Pokemon and just kind of what we talked about today, you know?
Yep.
Every trading card game has some ties to Magic.
Nice mute.
So, yeah, good mute.
Hey, he got it just in time. For those of you who are just listening, Mitch sneezed and he got the mute like immediately.
Let me tell you, I was right on the clicker there, and I had to click into Discord too. That took me 3 clicks, so I was like, I'm not gonna pull it off.
Oh, but he did.
But then we just ended up talking about the sneeze anyway. Although to be fair, the sneeze was pretty galactic, so it was a good mute.
You should have left it unmuted.
I know. I should have just let it out there.
Any last questions for us, Mitch?
No, you know, I mean, I think thanks for you know, taking me through it all. Tim's been, you know, he's been trying to get me to go in on a little while. The online free client is extremely compelling for somebody like me who I think he, like, does have friends who want to play with me, but like I, you know, don't kind of want to just go in at a zero.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good way for me to get me to do that. But I'm certainly, like, I, you know, am genuinely more knowledgeable on it now. So thank you guys for taking me through it all, and thanks for having me on the show. It's a blast.
Yeah,
you know,
of course, man.
Maybe when I'm at a 3.5 after a couple of games with Tim.
Yeah.
You know,
I might get you to come back on.
Yeah, that might get me to a, you know.
I mean, playing with me, like sometimes I can knock you down.
Like a 2.9, you know, at an absolute maximum, I think would be my ceiling. But
one last thing I just want to say for people out there teaching your friends how to play, be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pub stop them, you know.
Yeah,
help them. Honestly, I suggest the first game you play open-handed.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. You didn't do that with me, but
mm-hmm. I'm sure I learned my lesson.
Yeah. Although Chris, the way Chris introduced me, his method of trying to get me to play Magic was just scorched earth. Tim, play Magic. We're playing Magic this weekend. Come play Magic. We're going to play Magic. We're doing it. Mm-hmm. And I was like resisting. I was like, I don't know if I'll like it. And then I finally went over, played it, and Chris like let me win. So
yeah, right. For like Mr. Itch. Big Shot.
He got the itch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? And I was like, ooh, I eat Chris is bad at,
right?
A game Chris is bad at that I'm better than him. I must play it.
Yeah.
And then in the next game, he was like, oh, no, no. Sweet Summer Child. You know,
oh, no, no.
All it takes is... Oh, no, no.
Oh, no, no.
It's definitely...
I'm I'd not like saying let your friend crush you, but...
Yeah, which
you
is
know,
what I did.
Play open-handed. Help them learn. Honestly, it's a fun game, especially
if
we're not
playing.
It's a little
tough love between friends, though, you know?
Yeah,
Mitch I mean, when you play...
Mitch doesn't hold back when him and I have friendly games of Smash. And granted, I'm not learning Smash, but I'm definitely not at his caliber, and he just powders me every time.
Yeah, if any of you out there want to play Super Smash Brothers, get my info from Tim.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
There we go. Cool. All right, Tim.
Thanks a lot, guys. It was a blast.
Yes. No, really absolutely. Appreciate being thanks here. For joining us for
You bet,
season
man.
Two, episode one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Should we have Mitch pick our anti-sponsor?
Yeah, I think we should. I don't know why I said your name.
Yeah. Chris.
Mitch.
I agree.
Mitch, what do you hate?
Yeah, for some context, we would just make up stupid random sponsors, hoping that if we just said someone's name, they'd hear it and they'd be like, "Yes, we'll sponsor you." So like Paul Rudd, Henry Cavill,
right? Sure.
The classics, and then yeah, that clearly absolutely wasn't working out. So now we're just moving on to like we're just gonna name anti-sponsors.
Like, until we get an actual sponsor, like Raid Shadow Legends. We're going to name we're going to anti-sponsor things we don't like. So far we've said, chewing with your mouth open.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Invasive bugs.
Yeah.
And
the palmetto bugs,
the
bugs or the lantern.
Or whatever. Flies.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lantern flies. That's what I was saying. Yeah. Right. Thanks.
And then we also said gin.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, the alcohol.
Yeah. The alcohol gin.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So what's something that you
everything that I hate is so specific, you guys. My hatred is like a laser beam.
Oh yeah.
You know? I hate professional social media.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
You know? Yep. Like I'm talking, and when I say professional media, I mean like your influencers upon influencers, like these people that like are trying to like go to your coffee shop and get like free coffee because they think they're going to pose outside of it or some nonsense like that.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
One of the people that tweet you like the exposure you'd get from me.
God.
Then they have like 17 followers.
You know what? I want to almost change my answer a little bit, actually. I want to make it more specific. I hate that exposure is now a currency because of fake internet points. What are we doing?
That's guerrilla marketing,
dude. You know what I mean? So that's what I hate, you guys.
You know what? You're absolutely right, Mitch.
What are we doing? Meow Meow Beans is real.
I just watched that episode.
That episode is insane. It's like Meow Meow Beans, but like PG.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know,
honestly,
yeah, man. Shirley goes berserk.
Promotion is a mess. Yeah. On a side note, be sure to check out our merch store.
Yes.
We offer a lot of selections of t-shirts and coffee mugs to really help promote the Casual Commander brand.
If any local game stores would like for us to come and record an episode at their place for free packs, we'll do it. We'll tweet about you.
I get incredible exposure on my Instagram, you guys. Like at least 10 people a day look at my story of my cat. So you also got that going.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. Tim is, it's true.
Yeah, so it's nice and queen, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, okay. So
is that a good things I hate? Did that work?
Basically like you hate us. And I appreciate it.
Well, we haven't gotten to that level of head up our own ass yet.
Yeah, no, I'm talking like, you know, right, everybody keeping up with the most recent reels and whatnot. We're not
you're right.
So
our
if
heads
you guys
aren't
want
to
join our Patreon, it's $1 for our first tier. It's
our heads are nowhere near our ass.
Yeah,
our Patreon is Casual Commander.
Yeah, $2 per month will get you a shout out on an episode.
Oh my goodness, I think we're done.
Yeah, no, we gotta be done.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys. So excited for season two. Lots of big things coming your way. Mitch, again, thank you for joining us. Hopefully you at a 2.5. This game sounds interesting enough to get you to play.
Anytime you guys want to have me, I'll be around. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thank you to Sean Marr for the suggestion for the episode. I think it was a really good suggestion and a great way to start the new season.
I hope we eventually answered your question and didn't just like just fart around an entire episode and this guy's like, what the hell are they talking about? This isn't what I want.
I don't know. With me, you're getting
every episode.
Yeah, that's true.
You're getting a baseline of farting around when you bring me around, though.
That's true.
You know, you really are.
Yeah. This is going to be the episode that you're going to have. You're going to say, hey, mom, listen to this episode.
Mm. Yeah.
Who's this other guy? Right?
There's a guy named Mitch on there now. Yeah. What the heck? Just so everyone's aware, this is a filthy casual.
Oh,
actually, I was talking to Tim earlier at work, and we're like, Mitch is not a filthy casual. He's below that.
What Chris said.
I don't even know, dude. Yeah.
And then I said, yeah, what is he, like a trash casual then?
Trash casual.
Filthy casual, 50 feet of dirt, then me. That's where I was coming. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on here, man.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. Well, I think that about does it for this week. Looking forward to a full season of Casual Commander with you, Tim.
Yeah. Woo!
Season two, man. This is it.
Season two, woo woo. Yeah. Oh, this is it? We're done after season two?
We should have been done after season one, but here we are.
Here we are.
Hey, that's it, man. You know?
All right, I'm Chris.
Wait, you didn't plug anything.
Oh, shit, our plugs. Yeah. I should plug stuff.
Yeah.
Follow us on Facebook. We got a plug. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Facebook. We are Casual Commander Cast or Casual Commander Podcast on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at @EDHButCasual. We have a merch store you can check out, and we now have a Patreon. So any support that you guys can possibly give us would be really helpful to help keep this podcast going and putting out great content.
The best support we can get is just having people listen to us and spread word of mouth. Hey guys, if you like Magic, you might like this podcast. That's probably the best thing.
You can pay us in exposure.
Yeah, pay us in exposure, not your local like cafe.
Just because we hate something doesn't mean we won't accept it.
We are so willing to be hypocrites.
We are, and very liberal.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We are very liberally hypocrites. So yeah, be sure to follow, be sure to listen in to all the good content, more giveaways, more guest speakers, tons of fun coming out this year.
I will, real quick, because we have afforded this to most other filthy casuals we've had on here. Is there anything you want to plug, Mitch? I don't know if there's any, you know, you tell me.
I don't know. That's an interesting
Have you written
question.
A book in the last year?
I haven't really written anything or, I guess, produced a lot of stuff myself. Could I plug a? No, I guess I don't really have anything. You know, I think.
You want to plug like your pet?
Yeah, definitely. I just want to plug Molls. You know, Molly she's is... just. Yeah, she's a ham. You know, so I don't know. My Instagram's Gitch Moldstein, I guess. So I like to post a lot of bullshit about Philly sports and. That's pretty much my my whole thing on there. And, you know, find me on Switch and let's smash, man. Let's do it. That's it. That's Perfect. My plug. All
right. You good, Tim?
I'm good.
Season one.
Play the music,
season
baby.
Two. Season two, season baby. Two, baby. Let's go. Dial it back.
Play the song.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Later, Taters. I'm Chris. Thanks for having me.
I'm Tim.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Mitch.
And we're Casual Commander.
And we love you.
Woo!